You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Look in God's Mirror. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
One famous movie actor said that reading the Bible is like reading poetry. It inspires a person, he said, and reading the Scriptures lifts one's spirits. Now there are indeed sections of the Bible which are poetic, and they do lift us up and inspire us. But there are also sections in the Bible that function like a mirror which is brutally honest. For example, when we read in the Bible, in the book of Romans chapter 12, we soon realize that our daily life is quite different from what God expects. Let me read this section of the Bible to you, and then as I read, just imagine that you are looking into a mirror, a spiritual mirror. The Bible says, let love be without hypocrisy. It also says, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor, rejoice in hope, persevere in tribulation, and be devoted to prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, and practice hospitality. And now comes a real challenge. The Bible says that you and I are to bless those who persecute us. Bless and curse not, the Scriptures teach. Is this something that you do regularly and willingly? Do you bless those who are rude or unloving to you? Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For if you do this, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, the Bible says, but overcome evil with good. These words certainly seem to accuse even those of us who might consider ourselves pretty good Christians. Who is there, for example, who has heard these words that we have just read, and then can honestly say, I always think of others first? Or who is there who can honestly say, I always love those who hate me, and I always bless those who curse me, and I never think of getting even or getting revenge? Of course, when God's Word speaks to us so clearly, and when God's spiritual mirror gives us that damning picture of our sinful selves, that one picture that we would like to avoid, the true picture of our spiritual condition, then it is natural for us to go immediately on the defensive. And almost instantaneously, we come up with endless excuses and dozens of cover-up explanations as to why we do this and why we do that. But my friend, God is not interested in all of our excuses, and He does not even listen to all of our phony explanations. Yes, His heart is moved only by one thing, and that is a sincere confession, like the one St. Paul gave when he said, I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for the wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I wish to do, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not wish. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, on the one hand, St. Paul confesses, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh I serve the law of sin. By God's enabling spirit, St. Paul was able to comprehend the answer for the gripping power of sin and the deliverance from the dominion and the control of the devil. Thanks be to God, the apostle exclaimed. Thanks be to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, yes, here the apostle was talking about the most fundamental teaching of the entire Bible. He was talking about God's powerful, sin-destroying gospel. A gospel available for you and me today. A gospel which will lift up our lives. It will give healing and hope to our hearts. And a gospel which will assure our souls that we will spend eternity with God forever and forever. This is the promise that God gave Adam and Eve long ago in the Garden of Eden. This promise gave them hope. Consequently, the Bible explains, when the time was fulfilled, God sent the one. Yes, he sent the Messiah who would defeat the devil and break the power of sin. In clear fulfillment of prophecy, Jesus was born. And in fulfillment of prophecy, Jesus was crucified on a cross. And in fulfillment of prophecy, the great battle between Jesus and the devil took place. The climax of this battle took place when Jesus was crucified on the cross of Calvary. Finally, in victory, Jesus cried out and said, "It is finished." By these words, the Savior indicated that the battle was now over. The victory was won. And all who place their faith in Jesus need no longer live, being daily controlled by the power of sin and the burden of guilt. For all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, a new life of forgiveness in Christ is now possible. Sad to say, however, this is not the approach that many people today use. And so, instead of admitting that they sin daily and are in desperate need of the forgiveness available in Jesus Christ, many today have become convinced that their difficulties in life are actually quite minor, and that with just a little bit of an adjustment, everything can be corrected. Of course, this attitude springs from what is popularly known as the self-help movement. Now, not only do some people try to cure all their problems in this life through self-help books and tapes and seminars, but there are also those who attempt to secure their eternal destiny through self-help. Some months ago, for example, USA Today newspaper described a pilgrimage made every year in one of the southwestern states of the United States. Every year, thousands of people make the pilgrimage 2.5 miles up a winding trail. And there, they pay homage to a 47-foot-high statue of Jesus Christ. Now, there is surely nothing wrong in climbing a mountain to see a statue. But in this case, the newspaper explains, some of the pilgrims take off their shoes, and they even carry heavy loads so that on the rocky trail they can suffer more. They believe that by suffering, they will in some way earn God's mercy. Oh, if through our suffering we would be able to earn God's mercy, then Jesus would not have had to suffer and to die on the cross. No man can earn the grace of God or the mercy of God by his own efforts or his own suffering. Only the perfect suffering of Jesus is acceptable to God, and only the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ can pay for our sins. The Apostle Peter explained this all when he wrote, "For Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by the bloody wounds of Jesus Christ, of the crucifixion cross, we are healed from the guilt of our sin." So, my friend, self-help books and seminars may bring limited aid to a limited number of those who suffer confusion and addiction and poor self-image in this life. But the self-help movement holds no hope whatsoever to prepare for the life to come. Pilgrimages may also appeal to our desire to earn God's mercy. Sacrifices, yes, even the best efforts of the Old Testament priests through their repeated weekly sacrifices of animals could not atone for sin. These valiant efforts could not prepare people for heaven. These sacrifices were only a foreshadow, yes, a reminder of the blessed sacrifice, the great sacrifice, that would someday take place on the cross of Calvary. The writer of the book of Hebrews explains this when he says, "But when Jesus Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, a tabernacle not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. Jesus entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For Jesus Christ, the Bible explains, did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one. But Jesus entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the very presence of God for us. Now, when the Bible mentions this priestly act of Jesus, it also explains that Jesus does not offer himself often, as the high priest does, by entering the holy place year by year with a blood not his own. Otherwise, Jesus would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the consummation of the ages, Jesus has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, and he, Jesus, shall appear a second time for salvation, without reference to sin, to those who eagerly await him. When you and I look into the law sections of God's Word, this is like looking into a mirror. These words of God show us our sin. This experience of seeing our spiritual selves crushes us. It causes our hearts to despair, but praise God in His holy Word. God also speaks to us His holy gospel, and this gospel gives us hope. This hope is all based upon the sacrificial death and the victorious resurrection of Jesus. This gospel involves not the blood of animals, but the eternal sin-atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This gospel is simple, and this gospel is for the whole world. And this gospel is also for you, my friend, personally. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Jesus and his sin-atoning blood shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. Oh, my friend, then take the time to look into God's mirror and to see your spiritual condition. On your own, you have no hope for a bliss-filled eternity, but praise be to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he has sent Jesus to die for your sins. Believe then, my friend, on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, believe on the Savior, and you shall be saved from all of your sins. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.